This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at UH1.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to Red Men TV. Liverpool, Red Star Belgrade, the Champions League returns over in Belgrade. I'm a very limited amount of time before I have to basically wake up and fly there. Ben joins me, Ross joins me, and John joins me as well. Gents, I always find it tough, Ben, to do these games where, let's be honest, the show should be Liverpool are better than these, Liverpool should beat these. How many goals should we beat these by? 3, 4, 5. Great. Thanks very much. Good night. Yep. Don't forget to subscribe. There's a really big opportunity here for Liverpool to get a strong grip, stranglehold on this group if you can go and get 3 points.
Yeah, definitely. I think we've been benefited. The fixture list has kind of been kind to us in the way that we've played these back to back. As in, you know, because if you. It's a psychological thing, isn't it? Where Napoli. I'm sure we'll talk about that fixture later on, but Napoli PSG, they've got two tough games there back to back, along with all the other tough games that they've got to play, you know, against us. And then for Liverpool to go and get 6 points on the bounce, where the teams that could potentially be our rivals in the group are dropping points, for them that is a psychological thing of Liverpool have gone and done their job there, and that's going to be good. And it's, you know, PSG in particular could end up in trouble because of it.
I think Ben's spot on there, Ross, and it's interesting. There's a video Chris did with Jamie Carragher, which I think is out on the YouTube channel at the minute, and he talked about that, having the easiest team in the group back to back makes a big difference, because as much as we're looking at the group table and say, yeah, we're top, Napoli a point behind, PSG 2 points behind that, the fact that those two have to go head to head again could make a significant difference to this group. And what you want to do really is. And it won't be decided after this game week, of course, but you'd like to be able to go into that Napoli game and that PSG game knowing that you play that Napoli game knowing that it makes it a fight between Napoli and PSG as to who else qualifies, as opposed to us being sucked into the mire of it.
Even the PSG game as well, though. I don't think, like you said before, going into this game, you can't go thinking we're going to win 3-4-5-0, as lovely as that would be. I think if you have that, if you think about the importance of this game, potentially for the rest of the group stage, you need to think, oh, we just need a result here. Yeah. And that's not accepting mediocrity or just thinking we can't snot them. Mm-hmm. You just support about points at this point. It doesn't really matter what the result is. Yeah. And that's what we need to... Yeah. I'm sure the players will have that mindset. As much as I'd love us to win 3-0, I would just take any 3 points.
Yeah, I really want us to score lots of goals, but that's a nice
thing. It's the key week of the group, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, if we win and the other two draw, we've got a good gap between us, and even if one of them wins, then that puts the other team under real pressure, particularly if Napoli win and PSG end up on 4 points
while
we're on nine.
Ideally for you, because I was trying to work this out, and I think part of you is like, you want as much gap between as both to both teams as possible, but is there something to just shutting the door on,
I'd like
getting the
Napoli
door shut on
win.
PSG?
Napoli to win and leave PSG floundering on 4 points.
I mean, this is obviously all hinged upon us going and getting the 3 points as well. We put ourselves on 9 points. Realistically, you're looking at, you only need a point then from, you know,
Paris.
Provided Napoli beat Paris Saint-Germain, we only need a point then to guarantee qualification to the knockouts.
Well, it means if PSG beat us and then beat Red Star, they've still only got, you know, 1 point more than us, haven't they? So, you know, a draw, and we've got a better head-to-head probably.
Yeah.
So if we draw at home in our last game, you'd take that, wouldn't you?
It would be nice to be in a position where when we come to Napoli in the last game in December, obviously they're a good side. Unlike Spartak last year, where it was pretty much done and dusted, we needed to win, but we were expecting to beat Spartak. You'd be at a point where you qualified and you can just kind of relax and watch a good game between two teams. That's the goal, I think, at the moment, as a, you know, probably for the team. And
I think
and
you can
the
do
best
that.
Way to do that is to
if
be
Napoli
in a position.
Beat PSG and we win.
Yeah.
I think you can
yeah.
do that. Been a bit selfish, but going over to Paris, I want to go enjoy the game regardless, not thinking, oh shit, we lose this, then things are back in the mix again.
Yeah.
I think if you can afford to lose to PSG, like you just said, then you've got Napoli in your hands, and you put Napoli and us are at the top of the thing, and we can put PSG out of the Champions League together. I think there'd be like a...
Well, it is Italian football, Ross, so you know.
I'm not suggesting that or any backhanders, but it would be ironic if PSG got knocked out.
Gianni Infantino sat in the crowd. We go, whoa, what?
We changed the rules there, PSG through.
Yeah, no, honestly, yeah. I think that's it, and it is important, and that, it makes you wonder. I think we're all looking at this game, you're dead right, to say, look, Liverpool could, we took on the final word that Liverpool could probably do with going and getting a really good result. I'm fascinated to see what this is going to be like, because I've seen videos of what the atmosphere is going to be like over there.
Seem to be playing a different game this season. We seem to be trying to be much more secure, particularly at the back or whatever. So whereas last year we were going away and we were battering teams with lovely, brilliant football, and I think Klopp is going to go to this game thinking, well, we've got to win.
Yeah.
But not, we've got to batter them.
Yeah.
You know.
I think, I mean, hopefully it's...
I hope he does
both. One and the same. Yeah,
well,
you know, like...
It would be nice if... last season, that's what we were doing. We were going away, playing great football, battering teams and getting the 3 points. But it really is key to our whole Champions League group if we get 3 points.
I think we went to Napoli and played like that. And I think that's a dangerous mentality.
We played badly
to be
Napoli,
with. Terrible in that game. I think the balance needs tweaking a little bit. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I can go back to the Arsenal game. If that goal's allowed, maybe Liverpool go on, you know, and get another, maybe they do go on and get another couple. We'll never know. But this does feel like that game where I don't think we need to be too pragmatic. I think it would serve us well. Particularly given the little disappointment of just I've been knocked off, you know, level pegging with Man City in the league, just to get a little bit more confidence. But then again, you know, we scored 8 goals in the 2 games leading up to the Arsenal game, and it's not like that gave us, you know, bags of momentum to carry into that or whatever. So
I want Porto away all over again.
Yeah,
I'll take that.
Yeah,
I would absolutely be bang up for that.
They did a number on Napoli as well, though, so. I think you have to take that into account, as much as they're playing in a crap league or we don't know much about them. You can't write people off.
I think it's
going to start.
It's going to be a, you know, to use a footballing cliche, it's going to be a bit of a cauldron. But then again, the Dragao Stadium, Porto was that. Yeah. The fans were unbelievable in that game, and we were just great.
As long as we turn up and play our football, I don't fear anybody. I don't fear going anywhere. It's not like, because the thing is, we played in it at home. We play, you know, that Man City game is a fine example of, you know, as a home side, how much that can help you. So Liverpool can use that experience. They'll know the boost that'll give Red Star. They'll be able to counteract that because, we know exactly, that if we turn up and play our football, there's no need to worry because we're better than them. Yeah. At the end of the day, that's what the message will be. Doesn't matter what the crowd is saying. Doesn't matter, you know, what the atmosphere is like. Doesn't matter what the tunnel's like. You know, if you've seen that video knocking about the Red Star Tunnel, forget all that. Forget the riot police knocking about. Forget the fireworks going off. You are better at football than these 11 men on the pitch. Go out and prove it.
We've got Jimmy Milner leading the side out.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Chest forward.
Yeah, definitely. Probably with some sort of like Zorro mask on to protect his battered face. On the availability of people, Dad, no Shaqiri. I mean, especially for non-footy reasons, as a blower. Jürgen Klopp said, we've heard and read the speculation and talk about what kind of reception he would receive, and although we've no idea what would happen, we want to go there and be 100% focused on football and not have to think about anything else. We're a big club, a football team. We don't have any message further than that. We have no political message, absolutely not. We wanted the focus to be on a great game of football, free from everything else. It's
Well, I told you at the Anfield game, the... I don't know how many it was, 50 maybe away fans who were allowed in. Every touch of the ball for Shaqiri was booed and jeered, and when he was fouled, the whole place erupted. God knows what it would have been like if he'd been on the pitch.
I was thinking about this, and part of you goes, well, you know, I don't think it would have a negative impact on Shaqiri because I think he lives for that. I mean, look, you don't do that celebration in the World Cup if it's not a
mental factor. The crowd that more, you know, noisy.
You know what I'd call it? The Raheem Sterling factor. And, you know, you just don't need, their crowd's going to be fired up. They're going to have the support and you just don't, you want to kill that crowd. And you don't want this situation, Ross, where with like Raheem Sterling, you're just throwing someone in who just keeps it bubbling
away. It's an extra incentive for them to get geared up, and I don't think they need one as it is already. And like you say, it's not going to affect Shaqiri. The only thing I've seen is from a non-footballing side, it sends out the wrong message to say, well, if you think one of your players is going to get booed or whatever,
yeah, it does.
Can you afford to do that all the time? I think it's different with Sterling because he's not. There's no political agenda behind it, is there?
The other thing is that. If you didn't start with him, then you've dampened the crowd, and then you bring Shaqiri
That's the thing. The City had the last season when they brought Sterling onto a game, and it was the worst thing you could possibly do because just when we needed a little bit of a geo, oh, here comes someone that we're just desperate to boo and hiss and jeer and whatever. So it does make sense to some extent. It's just a shame that you're right. I think it does. I don't think it's. Great. A part of me is like a bit of defiance in the face of all that, to be honest. But
I think the way that we're playing at the minute as well, when I was saying like we're lacking that attacking threat between midfield and attack, he's the answer for it for me. Yeah. Well, so is Lallana, but I think you get a lot more out of Shaqiri. And given that he played, 10, 15 minutes against Arsenal, if they already knew that he wasn't going to play on Tuesday, why didn't he play more on Saturday?
Well, maybe, I think just that's tactical. I think it says more tactical, doesn't it, than anything else. But
Shaqiri hat-trick next Sunday.
Yeah, well, why not? The good thing is it's Europe, so the pace is naturally a bit slower. And we talked about Fabinho not being great in the Arsenal game, Ben. But he looked fantastic in this game at Anfield the other week. You know, he really looked up to his speed. That means that, you know, fine for being able to, I guess, continue. But we mentioned Lallana. You know, we could find, this is a really interesting game, I think, for Adam Lallana, because he's more likely to get in the team because of the Shaqiri thing. And it might just be one of those games that might be actually really well suited for
him. Yeah, there could barely be a better game for him to come in and make an impact. You know, we know how good he can be, you know, and for me, he got slated for his performance against Huddersfield, but I don't think he was too bad. I didn't see the Cardiff performance. Apparently, he wasn't great there either. But for me, you know, to come in, this is, if he can't make an impact in this game, where is he going to fit in long term?
That's going to get another chance as well. That's the problem. Well, exactly. Like you said, Shaqiri's probably going to start against Fulham. Then it's an international break, which he'll probably get called up for because he's not played and he'll get injured again.
Yeah.
And then you carry on, but there's going to be no space for him. There will be Christmas period when it's busy. But he needs to pick up some sort of form or confidence.
He needs to find a rhythm, whatever that looks like, and whether he'll ever get the games to get his true rhythm. You need to be able to get a tune out of him. You need to be able to guarantee that he can get a good, solid 70, 80 minutes out of Adam Lallana. You're right. That's why I think this is a good game for him. It wouldn't shock me to see him have a good game either, because as much as he is one of the players who's on the list of hate at the moment, like he is, he's very talented at football.
He's another scapegoat, but he's only because of his previous seasons. He was one of the best 2-3 seasons ago, and obviously he's had injuries and stuff. He's not going to find the form that he had before.
Yeah, I mean, this is what it boils down to. If Ben's right in saying that Liverpool are superior in quality, personnel-wise, to them, and Lallana, you know, you should be able, even if you think Lallana's terrible, as long as you still got Firmino, Mane, Salah, you know, or two from them, definitely you should be.
And he should be self-motivated to do that, even if you only get an hour out of him.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to play 90 minutes twice a week, so that's just not, his body's just not going to let him do that. But if you're Klopp and you're saying, right, okay, we're going to play you for an hour, you're going to start you, you must be, you must know that if you're not already in last chance saloon, you're pretty much getting there with your Liverpool career, you just want to go on and run for as long as you can and create as much as you can.
I think he will. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he had a really good game. No, Jordan Henderson hasn't travelled with the squad. He's going to stay back with Shaqiri. Klein is ill, which is, I think, would have been an interesting conversation, Dad, just because we know Lovren's travelled as well, so it's likely Lovren will play in this game, knowing Jürgen. We've talked about Trent not having a great game against Arsenal. We all want to see Gomez play more at centre half. Yeah. We've not talked about Nathaniel Klein
No, and he looked like he'd had a great pre-season. He played a lot of games, didn't look as though he was suffering any effects from his long layoff. Mm-hmm. And then the season starts and he's just a forgotten man, isn't he?
Yeah, completely. So
you'd have to suspect that his Liverpool career is at an end, really.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it?
He's last chance saloon now, isn't he?
Yeah.
Because we have got options. So, you know, Trent's injured, you put Gomez out there and you can happily put Matip or... Well,
we said this, but there's a varying degrees. The players who Klopp inherited, he's gotten the peak, the most he's ever going to get out of them, you'd suspect. And that is a list of, you know, it's New Moreno's, Lovren, Nathaniel Klein, James Milner, Adam Lallana, Jordan Henderson. These are all absolutely fine. You can play, you can have two, you can have a few of these lads in your side any given week and still be a very, very good side. But how,
it's too much of a risk, though, isn't it? When there's so much pressure to win every Premier League game and the position we're in this group stage now, like you said, it's the most important game currently. But you can't just throw Klein in there who's not played for five, six games, and then he bite you on the arse when if he makes a mistake or we lose.
Yeah, but this, I mean, but the kind of saying is, this is we are moving away from these lads, but then also they know how to play under Klopp. They've been there. They know what it means. They understand Liverpool Football Club inside and out. We're very fortunate to have these lads there, because as much as we're saying the client's career might be done, this is last chance saloon for Lallana, and it might be the end. You know, we're all looking to see Lovren phased out and Moreno's going to go at the end of the season. If at any point, look at Moreno's performance last week. He was really good. He was not brilliant, but he was good. It was a good left back performance. We are very fortunate to have these lads to drop in. We're not dropping a bunch of lads in who we've had to sign in the summer to pack the bench out like we used to do under Rafa. These are lads who can just come in. That's their job. They're the old guys who used to do that job. So, you know, if we have to see a couple in this game, fine. Naby Keita travelled as well is a big thing. Maybe a bit early. We're going to get people's preferred 11s in a second. I'd be interested to know whether anyone other than me has put them in. Stay tuned for that. Chris did the Newsroom podcast this week with Christian Walsh from the Liverpool Echo. It was very, very good. He talked a little bit about Aaron Ramsey. Here's that.
Aaron Ramsey, I just feel like if Arsenal are willing to do business in January, like go him, for it.
He's always done damage against us. He's just a clever footballer. It feels like another one of these guys, Christian, that Klopp could get the best out of.
Definitely. It feels like a Milner replacement as well. And that's not to say Milner's going anywhere at the moment, but he is 33. He will turn 33 soon. He's not going to be around forever. Ramsey's older than you think. I think he's 28, maybe even 29 now. But, you know, he's got that 4 years on James Milner. And it just feels like... He's experienced, but he's still sort of young and energetic enough, even though he's approaching 30. He's a Klopp type of player. You can see him in that number. For example, if we're talking about that right-hand side role in that 4-2-3-1, you could see him operating there. He's done it for Arsenal before. If it was a 4-3-3, you can see him do that as well. I just feel like if Liverpool do need a boost in January, you know, if they're still in a title race and they feel like they need a little bit of reinforcement in terms of creativity from midfield, goal scoring threat from midfield, he'd be the option. But in the summer, I think it would be a no-brainer.
The Newsroom podcast is available on the redmentv.com. Chris, every single week. It's going to be a big stretch this week because he's getting back from Belgrade. But and he's a bit poorly at the moment, so we can all send well wishes. Get well soon to Chris, who, if he's miserable and upset, is mainly bad for me because I've got to spend the next 2 days in his company. So if we can just...
With your earphones in.
Yeah. So fingers crossed he's okay. But yeah, anyway, the full sit down with Christian Walsh is there. It's on the redmentv.com. Some fantastic people Chris has spoken to. That he speaks about some stuff that's going on in the Liverpool world, but then also talks about their role as journalists. So if you really want an insight into what it's like to be on the Liverpool beat, Liverpool scene, be involved in that journalistic world, you can do. Melissa Reddy's been on it, goal.com's Neil Jones, Andy Kelly. I've got Neil Jones is on again this week, brilliant, so there you go. And a whole host of other brilliant content as well. So yeah, get over to redmentv.com. It is free for the first month, so you can go and try it out on our brand spanking new website. It's boss. I think it's boss, and our subscribers seem to think it's boss. So yeah, if you are a subscriber, let people know in the comments below. Other than that, come and check it out.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Preferred 11s then, Dad, I'm going to start with you. You have largely gone with the team that starts against Arsenal, but with a just brought Lovren back in and Gomez back to right back.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of struggle with the notion of preferred 11 because I know I would quite like to see Lallana play. Mm-hmm. I would quite like to see Keita play, but I don't think they will.
Yeah.
So my brain just can't get me to put them in my preferred 11. Yeah. So, you know, that defence, because maybe Trent needs to be taken out the firing line.
I think it's worth thinking about the two games in a week thing. And Lovren, I don't think he can disassociate the Fulham game. And I think Trent is the best option for the Fulham game.
Yeah.
And I think Gomez is the best option for the Fulham game. So all of a sudden, if you're playing, I mean, you could conceivably play Trent and Lovren in this team, to be fair. But you don't want a full 2 weeks without Lovren playing a game of football. You don't want Trent playing the three games, necessarily want him playing three games in a week, etc., etc. So it does make reasonable sense. In fact, everyone's gone for Gomez at right back, Lovren centre back in this one. Ross, you went, I've got it written down here, Gini, Lallana, Milner as your midfield three.
Yeah, I haven't got anything against Fabinho. I think he just needs a little bit of respite, and I think the Fulham game will be good for him to come into again. I think you can't rule out Gini and Milner because they're the most consistent players at the minute, and then Lallana, I want to see goals, not that he will get them because he can't score, but he can provide that crucial pass and that link between midfield. I would have put Shaqiri in there because I think that's what we're lacking, and he would have been a cert for me, but obviously he hasn't gone. So
I like the Lallana shout. Whether I go with that or not on my starting 11 prediction, you'll have to tune in and watch that on the channel. But it's tough because of the options that we have available to us at the moment, particularly the no Henderson thing. You're choosing from, your actual midfielders remain the same pretty much. We don't know how fit Keita is, so it's a gamble to throw Keita in straight away. If you don't put Lallana in there,
it's too industrious, isn't it?
Exactly.
It's kind of like rugged old school midfielders, and it's like you just don't have that creativity, which I think, not that Lallana's got it in abundance, but he's got it in more significance than Fabinho and the rest of them in there.
And maybe going back to using the Lallana in the way that we use them, particularly in Europe, maybe makes sense. You know, not going to be at a breakneck speed the same way the Premier League game is, so you might get a bit more change out of Lallana in midfield.
I think it does. I mean, I think the way that he changes the pace of the game by his turns and his running, you know, he sort of dictates when we speed the game up, and there's a good link with our fast forwards. But you know, the idea of an industrial midfield, I mean, Klopp's often gone with that.
Yeah.
You know, so you can't rule that out at all.
No, I don't think Lallana's going to play on Saturday either against Fulham. So,
it depends. Yeah, exactly.
They'll play one or the other, won't he?
So. Yeah, no, but I think Shaqiri will therefore play.
Yeah,
I'd rather get more game time in there. Yeah. So Lallana's not going to get a game.
But no. Looking at Fulham's defence, he might decide to play Shaqiri and Lallana.
Yeah, why not? The Fabinho one's interesting. Ben, you've got 4-2-3-1 Fabinho and Gini holding. It worked
exactly, and you know, this will be perfect for Shaqiri again. I think this would be the another game where he could just keep building his confidence a little bit. It's really unfortunate that we've lost him out, but it allows an opportunity for Lallana to come into the side and show what he can do. I think there was a shout for Sturridge. I thought if you're going to play,
well, Roberto Firmino, no one's talking about it. He's been a bit shit this season, hasn't he? I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm overselling it a bit, but because he's had some good moments and he's a couple of inches away from scoring a wonderful chip over the keeper at the weekend. But I'm not saying he is shit, but he could probably do with a
Maybe a
with
rest.
With a bit of a rest.
Well, I mean, I meant instead of Lallana to play Salah, because I put Salah up front on my formation. Yeah. So to play Salah out wide and then play Firmino as a 10 as I planned. But now I'm thinking about it. Yeah, maybe that is the way to go. Whether he wants to disrupt the front three or whether he'd rather just let them do their thing and hopefully, you know, this might be a game. It's another opportunity where they could click and continue to click. Whether he'll want to disrupt that, I don't know. But it's certainly a suggestion.
That's a gamble, isn't it? Because how many times this season he's gone, this will be the game. This will be the game where you got your Cardiff game and the Red Star at home, thinking, "Oh, we'll kick on now."
The form of the front three in general kind of relies on the form of Firmino for me. When if he's not linking things up as he was last season, that means Mane and Salah aren't quite as effective as they normally are. So if you take Firmino out of there, then you are taking that away entirely.
Yeah, I agree in so much as I think the Firmino's not been great, and I think we need to play him into form. But Europe might suit Sturridge, it might suit Lallana. I don't know. My preferred 11 anyway. I've gone for Firmino up front. I've gone for the normal front three. I've thrown Keita in just because I just want to see him play. Fabinho, because I think he's shown enough in Europe that it's fine to have him in there. And James Milner. It's tough. Here's an issue we've got, Dad. With the Gini Milner thing, they both deserve to be in Liverpool's team every week. And yet, if you put both of them in the team, it means that who you pick as your third has a massive impact on how you play football. Because in this instance, it's Fabinho.
Absolutely. I mean, in the best of all worlds, you'd want Shaqiri or Lallana as your three to give you that impetus and drive forward. But there are going to be games where you actually want to put the third more tough option.
None of us has gone for the midfield three, which we've forgotten about this, but it's only a few weeks since this was classed as our best midfield three of Gini, Keita, Milner. And that's the midfield three that you know started the season, Gini in the six.
I might have done if I thought Keita was fit, but I just no idea because he's been out for so long.
Yeah.
And I know he's travelled, but you know, how fit is he? You know?
By all accounts, he was in training last week, wasn't he? And I think he's a couple of sessions ahead of Henderson, who will be back for the weekend. So by all accounts, he's available to play.
Right, but Russell, maybe he'll play.
The big question, Keaton, is, are you better?
It's always a gamble, isn't it? It's part of the problem. If you play him and he plays crap, I'm just going to go, why have you played him so soon?
Yeah. And he was dreadful against Napoli away.
Exactly. Yeah. And you add to that the importance of this game, which you've already mentioned a few times, going, we need to get a result here to make the rest of the competition a bit easier, the rest of the group stage a bit easier on us. I just think it's too much for him, as much as his creativity would help us out. Mm-hmm. I think you've got Adam Lallana, who's played a couple of games, and he's at a different stage of fitness.
Yeah.
Maybe not the same quality as Naby Keita is.
It's a tough one, isn't it? Because of that balancing act between, we had this a couple of weeks ago, getting players up to speed, but also it's good for confidence to beat teams. I mean, look at Arsenal. Arsenal just went on that run of 12 unbeaten, but 11 wins and on one draw. They were flying by the time. I mean, I know Palace took the wind out a little bit the week before, but you know they'd clicked because they'd had the opportunity to click, and they played against lower quality opposition in that period and got themselves up and running. Do you use this as a period to get everyone up and running, or do you want your best players absolutely fit and firing? And then who are our best players?
The perfect situation for me would be Keita 20, 25 minutes.
Yeah.
If the game's going our way against Red Star, then play him against Fulham. Okay. And then you've got a stupid international break anyway, so it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, absolutely. right, let me know your preferred 11s in the comment section. Then score predictions?
2-0.
3-0.
I'll go with 3-0 as well.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant. Yeah. 4-0. It's almost like we haven't recorded this section before and had to re-record it. 5. I think Liverpool, I think and hope. But this is one of those games, isn't it? We talked about it, the atmosphere. It's not a typical, like, it's not like going to Maribor where it's not. And these have got a massive pedigree and it will count for something, I think, in their ground. Liverpool will have to be, whatever team we put out, will have to be at their best. If they're at the best, we should be able to get it sorted. But if we're not absolutely on it, there is a narrative there where they could do something.
As badly as we did at Napoli, then anything could happen.
Yeah.
And where that performance came from, I don't know. I've not seen that for donkey's years.
Similar to Arsenal, because you said like they haven't played anyone. The narrative was we were going to beat them because they just played crap. Well, it's the same for Red Star. But remember when we played them at home, they said they only lost like twice in 50 odd games. Yeah. Well, they played nobodies, but for confidence wise.
Well, the nine points clear at the top of their league. They've won the three games since losing to us. The issue is, it's like the PSG thing to some extent, is that they don't really have a challenge in their domestic league, which can work for us, but also the home advantage. This is them, you know, the home turf for a reason stuff. So it might be a bit naive or a bit stupid for me to pick a big score here, but you know
what? We've got the quality of players though, like Ben said before, we should have the mentality and the quality to go and do that.
Fingers crossed. And I'll back this Liverpool side, because why not? I mean, if we put no matter what side we put out, if they perform to the best of their ability, we've got the ability to win this game and win it well. I'd like it to be, I think it will be one of those games though where maybe with 15 minutes to go, we could find a couple of late goals to make it look, a 5-0 might flatter us, but however we take it, I'll take that. Score predictions, comments below as well, as alongside your preferred 11s. If you want more fantastic content, the Around the League podcast is there, the Man of the Match podcast, the Newsroom podcast that you saw a clip from before, and loads of other things in between, the Liverpool Women's podcast, all on the redmentv.com. It helps fund everything that we do here. Our subscribers are the best people on the face of planet Earth. We love those guys, and if you want to become one of them, get over there, and you can have a look at it for free for the first month as well, so do that. Thank you, gentlemen. It's been an absolute pleasure. Hopefully we've got massive grins on our faces for the Final Word show coming up later this week. I will be over in Belgrade, and hopefully there'll be a vlog up on Mates TV as well. Other than that, thank you for watching. Thank you for subscribing. See you all soon. Ta-ra.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.